I'm looking forward to that. I like change. But the greatest change is when God saves our soul. When we talk about change, you'll never be the same. And when you're in a service like this, where God's moving, you won't get over it. You'll never be content with anything else but this. The dry type of services, when you know it seems like, and it's not His fault. We come and we got worldly things on our mind, and we're not concerned as much as we ought to be. And then He doesn't show up and take control of service because we really obviously don't want Him to, or else we'd have prayed more and sought Him more. So you'll never be happy in a service that is not orchestrated by Him and planned by Him. And we don't have any plans and services. Just go with what the Holy Ghost says. But while Randy's looking for that, and if you find it, we'll just be interrupted. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. A few Wednesday nights ago, I was going to start preaching through the book of Judges. Judges is an astounding book. The book of Judges lasts for a period of about 300 years. America, as we know it, 1776 to this July, if we live that long, God doesn't come, 246 years, and we've seen change in my lifetime and your lifetime. You read your history books, and compared to the pilgrims, things are much different. Well, think about 300 years. It's a long time. But before I got to the book of Judges, I said, well, I've got to go back and read the preceding chapter, 24th chapter of Joshua, because now He had gathered all Israel together. He knows His time is short. He's almost 110 years old. And God's going to use him mightily. He has used him mightily. And He's going to continue. So in the book of Judges, chapter 24, it kind of introduces, before we get into the book of Judges. And the reason we're doing that, the title of the message this morning is, looking back helps us look forward. God gave us all these instructions. He gave us all these examples. And when He gives us these examples of how they failed, makes me look at my life and see how I'm failing. It makes us understand that God wants for us to increase and never to decrease. A story I'll tell you about, you know, seven different times in the book of Judges, they had the same pattern of behavior. Joshua got them all to agree, we're going to serve the Lord God. Yeah, that sounds good. Say what you want to, but actions determine what's going on. So for these 300 years, it was a pattern over and over and over. First of all, they had obedience. We will follow you, O God, and they did for a while. Then the flesh took over. There was calamity. There was disobedience, distrust. And after that, God brings judgment. And God would send a man or a judge. 12 different times He sent judges to Israel during this time. And they would repent. And God would forgive. Then the pattern would go over again. And then he says that God brought the enemy in and took control of them. Would God do that? Sure He would. He can't do anything but right. So when the people were disobedient, distrustful, and they went their own way 7 different times in the book of Judges, 300 years, He let the other nations control them. And then, and only when they cried out to God, would He send a deliverer. We've seen America go through a lot in my lifetime and your lifetime. And some of it, I would have thought, surely after God delivered us from 9/11, surely after God delivered us from World War II and all those things, surely we would turn back to God. Didn't last long, did it? But God's in control. But just think about it. Why would you want to regress? Why would you want to go backward when God has said in His precious word, I'll sustain you, I'll take care of your every need. You find it, Brother Randy? All right, here we go. He's going to sing that song, and we're going to praise the Lord. Remember, this is God's time, not mine and not yours. Aren't you thankful that every day of our life we're on His timing? The Bible says the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. And then we say, well, I'm not good, neither are you. But He that is within you is good. So if He is controlling our footsteps and our life and our services, everything's well. Which leads to my favorite song, It Is Well. The songwriter liked that thought so good that he said, say it again. It is well. It is well. He got excited with my soul. Brother Randy.
Praise, praise, praise. Praise to the Lord who sent us His Son. Praise, 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 we praise. In one we praise You, Lord. There is no other name above You. Blessed be Your name, God of Jacob, the Shepherd of Israel. Holy unto Your name. Holy unto Your name. Praise, 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 we praise. In one accord, we praise You, Lord. Praise, 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 we praise. In one accord, we praise You, Lord. Glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. God of Abraham, He's faithful and true. Holy, holy are You. Holy, holy are You. Son of righteousness and the Lamb who was slain, He's the lily of the valley. He's my bright and He's my morning star. He's the God, God of all glory. You're the healer and the King of kings, my deliverer and my friend. You're the sweet rose of Sharon. You're all love and You're all power. You're merciful and You're mighty. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, and You're the soon coming King. Holy, holy is Your name. He's the soon coming King. Holy, holy is your name.
And that's what the book of Joshua starts telling us about in chapter 24. God is allowing him, he gathered all of Israel together at Shechem. And Wednesday night, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at that name and we traced through the first time it was used. And usually it was a place. God has places that are really important in my life and yours. Remember, he said, I have chosen Jerusalem. I put my name there. He chose that place for Christ to be crucified. He chose that place for the temple to be built. And God has a place in my life and yours, a place where he saved me, secured me, a place where he called me to preach, and the place that he hears my prayers. And God loves choosing those places for us. So we went through Shechem and we've seen how God had brought every time Abram and Jacob, Israel, Isaac, every one of them to a certain place in their life. So now Joshua, before he goes home, God says, let's read a few verses from the book of Joshua, and we won't be long, about two or three more minutes here, and we'll be close for today. This will introduce the message we'll get later on. Looking back, look forward. Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. What a thought. We have gathered together in his house because it's our duty. Paul says, fail not to assemble yourselves together in the manner of some have. We don't look at those that have failed. We look at our lives because we're told to do so. So we came. Not only did we come because of obedience to him, but we came desiring to learn more about him. We came to present ourselves before him, listen to his voice, and then to be able to do what he tells us to do. And now Joshua has gathered all of Israel together, and they're willing to go because, can you imagine how important it is? We cannot imagine to be able to meet and to hear God's voice. A lot of people say, well, I've never heard his voice. I haven't either. He lets me know in my heart much clearer. See, I have to wear a hearing aid. I might misunderstand what you tell me. I have never misunderstood anything God's ever spoken to me in my heart. Now, Joshua's gathering them at Shechem, and Joshua said to the people. Now, these words are important. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have gathered you because God told me to. You have come because of obedience to him. And I'm going to speak, but it won't be my words. God is issuing this decree to you. It's his message to you. It's a message about looking at the past, and I'm going to show you your accomplishments and how you followed me, and I bless you. I'm going to show you when you fail to follow me, how I led you away and how my blessings were withheld. Isn't that important that we understand today that if God would really give us what he wants to give us, the book of Malachi says he has all these treasures in heaven. He's got them. He wants to give them to us, but he cannot if we're not obedient to him. And in the message, we're going to see how to become obedient to him. We're going to see what God wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. And we're going to be able to understand that we too can look at our past. And the Bible tells us about Abram's past, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through, and see their failures. And every time, see, God is a forgiving God. I remember, let me tell this little story and we'll be closing. To be able to advance forward in the kingdom of God and have this blessing, we cannot comprehend how important that is. So sometimes, since we don't comprehend how important it is to follow him, then sorrows come, disappointments come. He orchestrates that, because if we're not following him, he'll make sure. Here's a story that will help you. I remember one time I was playing baseball in high school, and we were playing at another team's home school in a different county. And we had a runner on first base. His name was Dale. Next batter up, struck at the ball, and he was still in second. He was going to second, so he made it safe because the ball hit the catcher's glove and bounced away. Well, our runner, Dale, knew that the rules say tip ball, foul ball, you have to go back to first. Well, Dale thought the batter had tipped the ball, so he went back to first because the ball was now rolling around. And so their coach came out and says, he's out at first. What do you mean he's at first? You cannot go back. Once you have touched second base, you can't go back. So they pulled out the rule book. And it wasn't anything in the rule book about that, so he wasn't out, that's for sure. Why would you put in a rule book that if you go to advance to second or third, but if you go back, you're out? Nobody would ever do such a crazy thing to start with, would they? Unless it was a mistake like Dale made. He was just trying to follow the rules, and he thought the ball had been found. And finally, after they were arguing, their coach and the referee and their coach, Dale hollered out, coaches, don't worry, I'll steal second again on the next pitch, if that's where you want me to be. And so when we regress, I said all that till this, we're advancing toward the kingdom of God as he wants us to. And it's even more foolish for us to go back than it would if you're trying to win the ball game and you're on third base. Home's the next determination, the place that you're going to be. Your next destination is home. Why would anyone ever say, well, I'll go back to second, back to first, and get the 30? You wouldn't do that. It's even more foolish for a Christian walking with the Lord, knowing he will bless when we do, but then we go contrary to his rules, his regulations, we get worldliness. It's more foolish for us to go back than it is even for in baseball. And you see, when you go back, the good part is you're not out. But the next thing is, the runner that was stuck on first base could not go back to where he had been until he stole it again or someone hit the ball. And when we regress and go back on God, we're there. It's hard to get back to where you were. Not impossible, because God's grace is sufficient. His mercy is everlasting. So the message is, they looking at the past, it'll help us look toward the future. And the past says, when we don't follow God, we're not blessed as a people, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. When we follow his, one verse of scripture, and I promise, everyone stand as we're reading it. In the 35th book of Genesis, the Bible says that God, because they went back and followed God and did away with all their strange gods, got clean with God, the promise was that if you'll do that, God put his fear, his terror on all the other nations that opposed him. Israel was hated by the world and still is. But they couldn't do anything about it because they were following God. The Bible says, thus God put his terror upon the cities about them, and they did not pursue after their families. If we want God's blessings on our church, our families, our nation, if we'll get rid of all our strange gods, anything you have more emphasis or love for than the Lord God is a strange God to you. So the blessings are withheld. And if you're not advancing, you're not standing still, you're going backward. And why would we do that when, if we go with God, he puts all the fear of the terror upon all those that would harm us, we don't have to worry about it. He takes care of it. And when we go backwards, it's as if we're saying, God, I can make it without you. We say, I'm not saying that. Well, really, we are, because to advance the kingdom of God is so important. Miss Brenda, come to the piano, please. Altar call. Anyone wanting to pray, needing to pray, we all need to pray. Altar's open. If you're here this morning, you haven't been saved by the grace of God. You haven't surrendered to Him. You haven't asked Him to forgive you of your sins. Would you come? Just bow before Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You died for me. You died for sinners. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll save me. Would you do that? We thank God that we can call upon His high and holy name, and thank You for coming to the organ, Miss Mary. Lord Jesus, we beseech You, we praise You, we lift You up, and I thank You for the service You gave us this morning with the songs of Zion. You have put Your touch, You anointed those songs, and You helped us and gave us the freedom of worship this morning, and we are thankful. God, as even as Brother Brian prayed in the first prayer this morning, it's good to look back and see how He saved us and think on these things. And that's what You want us to do today. It confirmed, Father, what You've been showing me. Look back and count the blessings and rejoice in them. And we know the continuation of those blessings will be upon the fact if we'll serve You and get rid of every strange god in our life and follow You and You only. Thank You for everything You've done this morning, Lord, for the prayers that You've answered. We know, Father, people's hurting. But we're bringing them to You and we're leaving them there because You care for us. I want to thank You. Be at the service this afternoon. It's a funeral service and that bereaved family. We know where Miss Martha is, but Lord, we're still down here. We're hurting. Lord, help us to see and help us to reflect on the things that You bless us with already, knowing Your blessings are still available and free, and You desire to give them to us even more than we desire to have them, because You're God. And I pray that we'll live a life pleasing before You and get rid of anything and everything to make contrary to the will of God in their life. With thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen. As you leave this morning, the usher